Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. You know, we are here in Dallas, and we are here to build God's kingdom. Wherever you are, we welcome you in Jesus' name. And I would like to encourage you and let you know that we are in prayer for Zambia, for we realize that today they are having elections, presidential elections. I'd like us just to look to the Lord in prayer and pray for Zambia right now. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your divine holy presence. We lift up the nation of Zambia, asking for the blessings of the Lord to abound upon this country in Africa. I am originally from Africa, Zambia. Lord, I have seen the progression of the political parties in Zambia. I've seen the power that UNIT had over the country for almost over 30 years. And then the MMD came into power. And I've seen the Patriotic Front come in. And now we are seeing this Patriotic Front and UPND come to, as we might call, a battleground. But God, you know, these presidents and kings of nations are appointed by you. People endorse only that which you have chosen. And Zambia being a Christian nation, you have already heard the prayers of the faithful who have cried unto you day and night for the rightful person to be elected president of Zambia. I therefore pray on behalf of our church in the United States of America, the Word of Life Bible Church Fellowship International, the Word of Life Bible College, and the church in Plano, the church here in Dallas, the church on the air with over 8,000 people who listen to our broadcast. We gather in one faith, believing that the rightful person whom God, you yourself, has endorsed to be president will be elected president of the Republic of Zambia. We thank you that even here in America, as we're getting it through this heavy contest between Donald Trump of the Republicans and Hillary Clinton of the Democrats, that God, the rightful person, will come through. And we know, as we pray for your grace to abound upon Hillary Clinton to arise and become president and first woman president of the United States of America. We commend her into your hands and pray for the Holy Ghost to totally install her and ratify her position in government here in America. For we ask it knowing that the angels of the Lord will be with her as they will be with those in Zambia. The gracious blessings of the Lord shall abound upon Hillary Clinton, upon the one you pick in Zambia to become president. We thank you for the service that you have received from President Edgar Lungu. And now it's a time for the people to vote and to endorse that which you have chosen. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, it's a battle when you get into elections. When I was in Zambia, I used to find myself, I was a coordinator of elections. I worked with FODEP, and I was a Copperbelt vice chairman of FODEP. That means I was in charge of over, actually, the whole Copperbelt. And Mr. Kapita was the chairman, and I was his deputy, and we governed every Copperbelt town. We received money from FODEP, which we gave to our pastors and other church representatives that monitored the elections. And I traveled extensively around the Copperbelt with my own van. They gave me money for gas, but I had to drive around, went to many, many places to make sure that the elections were fair. And at the counting, I was in the civic center itself, where we had all these bankers doing the actual counting of the ballots. That was mainly when there was this major shift from UNIP to the MMD. And at that time, President Chiluba won with a landslide. Now, when I was there, I relayed the results to our headquarters in Indola. Then Mr. Kapita relayed the results to the Lusaka counterpart. So I've been in this business a long time. I've been with presidents, I've been with ministers, I've been with the vice presidents of countries, I've been with mayors, I've been with all these people in government. We have had dialogue one-on-one by God's grace. But here we are, here in America. We are absorbed by what's going on because we live here. I live here. You can't ignore where you live. You know, I mean, that's something strange. There's no way I can ignore what's going on here in America with the Democrats and the Republicans. I cannot. I live here. Whatever decisions are made by the people in power will affect me too. You understand? I'm not living in Zambia right now. I live in the United States. And so I'm concerned also myself for what happens, who becomes president in this country. We have had a lot of derogatory remarks from Donald Trump, which he has been castigating on people. That's not wholesome for a candidate who is supposed to become president of such a powerful nation. So we need a sober-minded person. And in my own choosing, I think Hillary Clinton is sound. Like somebody said, we'll have two presidents, the former president, Bill Clinton, and his wife. And obviously, when Clinton was president, things were prospering. We had a lot of jobs in this country and many things were done. And so I'm part and parcel of the changes taking place in this country. There's no way under the sun I can ignore what's going on here in America because I'm part of America. You see what I'm saying? And so this is what it is. We are praying. We're posting prayers on our pages on Facebook and asking people to really pray. Some outrageous outbursts from Donald Trump are very disturbing. We need these things to be looked into and to really pray that God's hand will intervene in matters such as these. See, we are ministers of the gospel. It's foolishness of me just to keep quiet and look. You know, while the country is going the other direction, I've been anointed by God to stand in the gap. That's what Jeremiah did. That's what Isaiah did. That's what all the prophets did. They spoke. Elijah spoke to, you know, this Rahab and said, "You are a crazy man. You are leading the nation astray. Your wife Jezebel, you are all sacrificing to devils. You are the priests of Baal, you know, trying to turn the nation away from God." And this guy, Elijah, a prophet, stood up against this Rahab, the king of Israel. He was leading people into, very degrading anti-God sacrifices. And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah. He was living in the bush, eating from the brook Cherith when he closed the heavens. He closed the heavens. Why? To discipline the king. So we Christians, we can't take a back seat and say, hey, the people who vote, I can't get involved in politics. That is crazy. We have to stand our ground. I'm not going to go there and start proceeding, you know, unless God, you know, chooses you and lets you take an office or become a senator or become a mayor of a city, you know. But where we are as a church, God has given us responsibility to be the eyes of this nation in a sense. Spiritually speaking, we hear the drumbeat of the Holy Ghost. And so when something is not right, we prophets of God have got to speak out. Can't be backing and shuffling and hiding in a cave when things are not going right. We have to stand up and speak. That's why God gave you a voice. That's why God anointed you as a priest and a pastor and a prophet, whoever you are, an apostle, is to stand your ground in times when people are abusing power, trading upon the innocent, calling people names and insulting them from morning till evening. That's what that giant Goliath did, insulting Israel all the time. He would come out in the evening, in the morning. He said, "You choose a giant, a captain among you, to come and fight me." You see? "And whosoever wins, we shall be, they'll be servants of them." That was crazy. This man, David, was a young man whom nobody ever thought he would ever kill this Goliath. He came and said, "You guys, what's wrong with you? This man is coming up here. What's the problem? They say, you see that man, the king says, whosoever kills him is going to give him his daughter and he's going to make his family great in Israel. I say, but who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, he was a young guy who had never been to war. He had been, in, you know, tending his father's sheep, but the lion came while he was out of sight, bare hands. You see what I'm saying? The point I'm making is we are affected by the events that happen wherever we are because we are part and parcel of the fabric of the United States. We are citizens of this country, and we are people who are feeling the pinch. If a crazy man takes office, it's going to affect everybody. See what I'm saying? Yeah. We pay taxes, we do whatever, and if these things are affected, we are affected too. So you can't take a backseat and just let things roll by. See, we have power from God, and that power is to pray. We can change things through prayer. Amen. Well, today God emphasized upon my spirit. If you have your tablet or laptop or whatever you're looking at, he says, Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba and wife Pastor Tarina Mwamba present Breaking Barriers. Today I'd like to talk about breaking barriers. What are barriers? Now, barriers is anything that is blocking you from getting to the other side, blocking you to your success, blocking you to your employment, blocking you to the business that you want to do, blocking you to your education, blocking you in your marriage, blocking you with your kids and family. See what I'm saying? Bringing contention. You have to break through. Now, how do you break through? How do you break through a financial situation that has got you almost drowned? How do you break through, you know, a condition where you can't get a job? How do you break through when you cannot find a place that can lend you money to kick off your business, to start your business running? Now, the Apostle Paul, when you read in the book of Ephesians 6, 10 and 19, Paul there gave us the way to break through. Now, in verse 10 there, he says, finally, now, if you read the King James, it says, finally, my brethren, you see, but this Bible I'm reading from, it begins with, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That's what this Bible says. Now, I've spoken that word so much that I'm going to just recite it from my memory. See what I'm saying? The King James Version goes like this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all, stand therefore. Now, here, he says further in verse 11, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the authorities, against the powers of darkness, or the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Now, in the King James Version, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. See? Now, the both Bibles are right. They are just putting it in a different language, you know, English language. So you can, that's why they're called versions, different way of reading your Bible or saying the biblical words in the Bible. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, you must realize once and for all that any hindrance that comes, it could be either your mistake, it could be that you did something carelessly that could block your success, or you caused something through your ignorance to begin to hinder you. Now, there is another side to this coin in that it's mainly the devil with his henchmen, or the minions. Minions means the followers of demonic forces that follow the devil are assigned to stop you and me from reaching our success. The devil knows that if you and me get to the top, we will change things in nations and the devil will be displaced and he will lose his grip over these cities of the world. That's why he sends these devils to block our reach to finances, to block our reach to comfortable homes, block you from having mobility, block you from having nice clothing, block you from having finances. For the devil knows if you have money, you are mad. You're going to buy airtime. You're going to do great things that would completely eradicate his presence on the earth or in the earth. And so Paul gives us the keys to getting through these demonic forces. Now, the very demonic forces and their works against us is what we call the barrier. They block your access to your money, which is over there. You got to cross through or break through these devils to get to where your prosperity and abundance is in God. That's why it's not easy to get your business successful, to get yourself educated, to get yourself wanted and promoted, to experience big breakthroughs. It's a battle because there are devils that put barriers to stop you. But you see, even though the barriers are there, God says, I am the one and the only true God. I'll make a way for you where there is no way. You understand? So no matter what is blocking you, it could be a financial dilemma. It could be a physical malfunction. Whatever it is, the Lord says, I will give you power to break through those barriers. Amen. And so, what is the barrier? What are the things that are blocking your success? Many times we know one thing is mainly money. See, if you don't have money in our society, all over the world, you can have a tough time. Because money, as Solomon said, answereth all things. What do I mean? With money, you can buy airtime on television. With money, you can build projects to accommodate your Bible school vision. You can, with money, you can do great and mighty things with money. When you have money, you can succeed. When you have money, you can, do great things. You can build schools, you can build projects, you can build churches, you can do great and mighty things. But when you are broke, then you cannot do. So in a sense, money answers all things. And so I'm here to challenge you, my dear brother, sister. We have a force that we are fighting against. That's why the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. See, that word carnal means our weapons are not of flesh and blood, just like Paul is saying here. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is spiritual wickedness going on in heavenly places, wickedness that is aimed at stopping you in your path, stopping you to your success. Spiritual wickedness that is aimed at completely blocking you from seeing your success come forth. But you see, we have to break through. And to break through, you must garner enough power to go through these barriers. How do you garner power to break through the barriers? You simply garner power by dedicating yourself to the Lord, by seeking his face, by praying in tongues, because that's how you charge your spiritual person.
by praying in tongues and by worshiping God, you create an atmosphere of spiritual warfare against the enemies of the cross. And so we see here, you might have a financial dilemma, financial problem, or you know, you are sick in body and you don't know what to do. See, we see Naaman, he was a captain of an army, a mighty army. He was a big shot, a big man in the army. But the Bible tells us that he was leprous. That was a barrier to his success. But you see, there was a maid which they had brought in from Israel, and when they fought against Israel, and this maid knew about the God of Israel. She had seen miracles happen when she was growing up, and she was still a young girl. But when she saw Naaman in the state in which he was, sick with the leprosy, she told her mistress and said, "Mother or ma'am, where I come from, the master would be, if the Lord be with the prophet, my master or the master, Naaman, will be healed of his leprosy." You see, the source or the beginning of the breakthrough began with the young maid. The beginning of your breakthrough begins with your thought. Whatever you think about is what you are going to be. The thoughts you think about can either make or break you. If you talk of mediocre achievement, you talk of mediocre success in life, you talk of mediocre acquirement of a home, whatever you're looking for. If you speak in terms of mediocrity, that means below par, you will not experience great success, because whatever you say is what is going to be paid back to you. See? So you have to speak things that are going to bring change in your life. So the word got to Naaman, and the wife told Naaman and said, "Hey, look at what the maid is saying. When she comes from, there is a prophet. You see the way the God was with the prophet, he would heal you of your disease." So this man, Naaman, he left, took a lot of gifts, gold and silver, linen and many other stuff, and got his servants and got on a journey to Israel. First, he went and saw the king and explained to him that he needed to be healed, and he was headed to Israel to be healed. And the letter was penned. That letter was directed to go give to the king of Israel. He said, "Here is my captain of the army. Can you heal him of his disease?" And this letter, when it landed in the hands of the king of Israel, the Bible tells us that he tore his garments. When you tear your garments, you are tearing them in a cry out to God, in a shameful cry. He said, "Am I God that I should heal this man of his leprosy?" Then the word went to Elisha. And the Bible tells us to Elisha. And the Bible tells us that when Elisha got the word, he sent back a message to the king and said, "Hey, send that man over here, so that he may know that there is a God in Israel." So when Naaman came to see Elisha, Elisha didn't even come out of the house, mind you. He stayed in his house. He just sent a word and said, "Go tell him to dip himself 7 times in the river Jordan, and he shall be made whole." Now, apparently the river Jordan was dead in water or something. I'm not sure. But, you know, Naaman was upset. He said, "You mean where I come from? Their rivers are like a papa, and the other river he mentioned, which are clean rivers. And you tell me that prophet is telling me to dip myself in this dirty water of Jordan? I thought he was going to come out and call out and cause me to do some great thing or so." But then the servants, his servants, when they heard that, they begged him. They said, "Master, this prophet hasn't said a very tough thing. All he's telling you is go dip yourself 7 times in the water. What's so hard about that?" You see, God was dealing with the pride of Naaman. Sometimes your own pride will be a barrier to your miracle. A pride, I cannot clean tables. A pride, I cannot do such a job. A pride, I cannot save tables in a restaurant. Pride. Pride will block you from the blessings that are set for you on the other side. Then Naaman realized that he was being a fool by contesting and challenging the man of God. So he believed what his servants told him, and he dipped himself 7 times in the River Jordan. Guess what? On the 7th time as he came out of the water, the Bible said that he was healed of his leprosy and his skin and that of his, his skin was as soft as that of a child. What am I saying? The barrier to Naaman's peace and prosperity, as it were, was to his healing. Because he didn't know if he was going to be alive tomorrow. He didn't know what limbs were going to remain. The same thing that happened to Naaman can happen to you and me. You have a financial problem, or you have a sickness, or you have some doubts within you about the power of God. I'm here to tell you that there is a God in Israel who answers prayer. No matter what you're passing through, when you call upon his name, he will hear you and he will come and deliver you. We see that the barriers are there to stop you from getting blessings. This barrier that Naaman had was to stop him to operate normally as maybe a second to the king, or to be in a very powerful position. Because of the lack of integrity and understanding of the movements of the Spirit, you can miss your miracle. Barriers are there to be broken. Barriers should never limit your success. There's a barrier of education. Oh, I didn't go to school. I didn't learn that much. You tell me, Mark Zuckerberg, he dropped out of the University of Harvard, Harvard University, because he had a concept and a vision. Now, see Facebook. Look at the shares he has. Look at the money he's making now. See, all I'm saying is never ever give up because something is not working. Just because the bank could not lend you money does not mean that your vision is fruitless or you're on the wrong path. You are on the right path, but the devil is fighting against you to stop you in your tracks, and so he will not let you have finances. But listen, when you stand up in the spirit and pray to Jehovah God, God will send his deliverance. I like that. God will send his deliverance unto you, and you shall be totally set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see barriers are there to stop you in your health. Barriers are there to stop you in your financial prosperity. Barriers are there to stop you in your education. And so here we are by the power of the Holy Ghost, believing God for miracles. And let me tell you what, miracles will happen as long as we don't go astray in our faith, as long as we don't believe in God. Miracles are going to happen every day of our lives. So we see here that there is power in believing God. When things are not moving and you think that's the end, no, no, sir and ma'am, that is not the end. It's the beginning, of another journey of miracles. I challenge you in the name of the Lord to believe God that it shall be even as it was told you. That's what Paul told the sailor and the prisoners on the ship. He says, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Well, beloved, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba signing off and telling you, you have breakthroughs to make this week. Make them by the power of the Holy Ghost. We'll see you again. God bless you and bye-bye.